Father God, we thank you that your word is available. It's a fire and a shield, protection, our defender. Thank you, God, that you give us this word. May we receive it as it is, obey it as it's our life. Instruct us and teach us the way we should go. God, more so as we see these last days approaching. In Christ's name, amen. When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. Please give me your attention. First, I have to give you a public service announcement. Those names that I read to you, Artemis was Greek, Tychicus was Asian, Zenas was of unknown origin, Apollos was a Jew. It's verses like these and many others that caused people to flee oppression, religious oppression, racial oppression, and to come to a land that they can build on the foundation of biblical principle. They left England, fleeing this state-run religion, and they started a place where all people could be free. But just like happens everywhere, the godless followed them. They followed them and they brought their misery with them. It's the craziest thing. People hate New York, but when they leave and come down here, they take their crap with them. They're fleeing California. Literally a million a year, the population is shrinking. They're going to Texas and bringing their crap with them. South Dakota, Idaho, they're bringing their crap with them. And let me tell you, especially for my brown and black, Hispanic and Asian brothers and sisters here, if you have been taught wrongly about this United States of America in the universities and the colleges, this was a land built upon all men created equal. Intent built upon that foundation, but when the godless left Europe and brought their slavery here, even though it was isolated to one part of the country, the other part of the country said, no, we're not going to let that happen. We will not let that happen. And they fought a war called the Civil War, where 500,000 men lost their lives. 400 plus thousand were white boys. That is the country you live in now. So, Christian that is here today, let me tell you something. Do not align yourself with the godless who wish to divide us again in a reverse discriminatory way, who wish to have people who have a black areas, white areas, this school is only for, that church is only for this. Artemis was Greek. Tychicus was Asian. Apollos was a Jew. It takes all kinds to make up the body of Christ. Ken Graves put it this way, quoting his old pastor from when he went to church in Alabama. Ken Graves used to go to a real Pentecostal church. And at Pentecostal churches, you have to keep talking because if you stop, somebody else is going to start. He used to say there's only three kinds of people in this world. Them that is, them that are, and them that think they is, but they ain't. And that third category makes up the majority. You either love God, or you don't love God, or you think you love God, but you don't really love God. Now let me let you that love God in on a little secret. If you love God, you cannot support slavery. Sorry. I don't care what color you are. Can't. Can't do it. If you love God, can't support abortion. Can't do it. It's the ending of a life. Whatever you want to say, can't do it. Can't. If you love God, you can't align yourself with people who will divide by color of skin. Can't do it. I don't care what happened yesterday. You can't do it. You see, you either love God, either you don't love God, or you think you love God, but you really don't. You understand that?
Yeah.
The key and the formula for breaking this cycle, like myself, who grew up kind of semi-generically Catholic, believing I loved God, but supported all kinds of wickedness. All kinds of wickedness. Whatever. The key is obedience. Hold that thought. And let our people, in verse 14, also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Unfruitful. Urgent needs. Good works. Urgent needs. Unfruitful. Good works. Another sign of believing in God is good works. Fruit. If you will turn with me, please, keep your place here. We will come back to John chapter 15. Just a few pages to the left, John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, start in verse 8. The Lord Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." In order for you to bear fruit, you must maintain good works. Good works. Jesus Christ said, "By this they will know you are my disciple, by the love you have one for another." When Dean comes up here and he says, "The church is open, if it's a hurricane, we ain't lying. You need help. We're here." We keep our help in a biblical, 100% biblical way. We don't go outside of that. That's dangerous. However, we have a children's ministry. We have a Sunday night service. We have kitchen ministry, missionaries. I mean, you have opportunity to serve. Probably the most important ministry we have at the church when it comes to outside outreach is the convalescent homes. Yeah, it's going to take you a couple hours on a Saturday night, especially if you like staying up Friday night late. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have to be there. Oh, my goodness, at 10 o'clock. And you walk around and you just say hi. Maybe you pray. Maybe you just walk people into the service we do at the convalescent homes. Maybe it's not even that. Maybe you just help an old lady to her car. Help somebody across the street. Maybe you see somebody who doesn't have the rent money. Hey, you know, the Lord put on my heart, I just want to pay your electric bill for a couple months. What? I had a little good month, man. I just want to. These maintaining good works. That is what's called bearing fruit. Why would you do that for me? Because I love the Lord Jesus. That's why. here's a sadder. Not sad. Here's the warning. Verse 2 of the same chapter. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. I wish I had like some interpretation for that. But how you see that in the church, in my position, I see here, and I have the visual because everybody always sits in the same place, and I go, hey, man, I wonder what happened to those people over here. Well, I know what happened to them. They didn't serve God nowhere, so they got taken away. Man, I wonder what that dude that always used to sit, he didn't bear fruit. He got taken away. Well, he didn't get taken away. He goes to another church, and I'm sure he's serving there because it's a better church. The guy teaches nicer. You understand? There's a warning from the Lord Jesus. That's why in most of your Bibles it's in red. Bear fruit. That's what you're called to do. Heaven didn't need you. Oh, man, I just, if I don't have that guy in heaven when he dies, I don't know what I'm going to do without that girl. No, God said, I'm going to save that person because I got lots of work for them. And then, at the end of their days, I'm going to spend eternity with them. It's a different kind of mindset. Hold that thought. Continue back now. Leave there. Back to Titus. Verse 15, we finish now the chapter. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Now, I laid a trip. I did. I laid a trip, no lie. A little Jewish guilt from my mother's side. But I want you to know where this originates from and how you get there. When I was growing up, my father was a very strong disciplinarian. And being the idiot that I was, I got old enough to say, nobody is going to tell me what to do ever again. Anybody? Oh, I'm the only one there. Okay, just checking. You too? Even you? Oh, my goodness. So I went about building my wall, piling on my stubbornness, defending, hardening my head by running into brick walls over and over again until I was absolutely sure I could run through every one of them. Hurting people, destroying relationships, burning bridges, turning off family members. It's just something not right with that kid. No matter what it is, he argues. No matter what it is, he just won't do the right thing. Did he get arrested again? Another fight? What is wrong with this kid? I'm sure I'm the only one. And at my salvation, there at 4 o'clock in the morning, St. Helens Catholic Church, 1987, looking up at a statue of some person, I said, God, if you get me out of this alive, I'll never break the law again. And he looked down at me, the Lord Jesus, from behind that statue, and he said, that's a lie. But I'm going to save you anyway. And I wish I could tell you it was all up from there, but I drug God around in my muck and filth for 5 years. And every place I took him, he went with me. Every opportunity to tap me on the shoulder and say, don't do that. You don't. He did. And I ignored him until time of surrender. And then I didn't just make God my Savior, who saved me from hell and death, I made him my Lord. And for me, what I needed most, what I rejected my whole life, I made him my sergeant, my general, my authority figure, my loving father. Oh, parents, when are we going to learn how to discipline our kids so they don't rebel against us later? Not in his lifetime. We just don't do it right. I mean, is there a right? I'm sure our kids would gladly tell us there was a right and a wrong to how they should be disciplined. They love to tell us how to discipline them so that they will listen.
Yeah.
Sure. But here's the crazy thing, and here's where we're going to take a little journey. A journey that, by the way, as a church, we've taken many times before. And I think just a few months ago, I want you to turn to the first chapter of the book of John. With an open heart and open mind, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus is God. He's the Son of God, but he's God the Son. He is what the Bible calls the master craftsman, the king of the saints, the desire of the nation, the ancient of days, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, creator God. And he never had to submit to anybody. He never, ever had to say, yes, sir, no, sir, absolutely, sir. Never had to. So when you read passages like I'm about to read to you, you will wonder, why did he then? Flip through with me. If you have a pen or a highlighter handy, we're going to roll through a bunch of verses, and we're going to see the obsession of Jesus Christ. What did you just say? The obsession of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was obsessed. Not possessed, not oppressed, obsessed with letting us, his followers, and those who hated him know one thing above everything else. Verse 6, chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, referring to John the Baptist if you're new to Scripture. Verse 8, then, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Same chapter, verse 19. Now, this is the testimony of John. The Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Please give me your attention. The first thing we see, John the Baptist was sent from God, and he obeyed. The Pharisees were sent by the other Pharisees, and they obeyed. When somebody sends you, you have the opportunity to go or not go. When your parents send you on a mission, whether it's to take out the garbage or to go to college to learn, I'm sending you somewhere. Will you accomplish that for which I send you? Will you even obey if I send you somewhere? Same chapter, verse 22. They answered to him, speaking of the Pharisees, to John the Baptist, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? Come on, John the Baptist. These people have sent us, and they're waiting for answers. At very least, they knew they had to answer to them that sent them. You with me so far? It's going to get ridiculous. Verse 24. Now those who were sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet. Same chapter, verse 33. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon him whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Now, I love verse 33 because of this. Here's what he said. I don't know him. I haven't seen him, but he sent me. Excuse me? John, you haven't seen him yet? Nope. Then how do you know he sent you? That's kind of ridiculous. He might say, I don't even know the answer to that. Why do you do what you do? Because the one whom you've never seen sent you to do it. Why in the world do you guys get up every Saturday morning for years now, years, and go to that convalescent home and preach to those people nobody cares about? Because he whom you love, whom you follow, sent you to the least of these. All right, fair enough, fair enough. Chapter 3, verse 28. You yourselves bear witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. Same chapter, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Oh, verse 34, what a glorious verse. If you come from God, you speak the word of God. That's it. You didn't come from God for any other reason except to speak the word of God. And you see that promise? I love the latter part of that. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. You know, Rich, you can have 20% of the Spirit. Sahara, you can have 35%. You have more than him. Todd, 6%. No. There is no measure. Nikki, you got the whole kit and caboodle. The whole thing. He don't just give you a little Spirit. And know this, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is that Spirit without measure. You have the power. Why am I beating this down? I'll tell you why. Because I don't know what clicked in my head one day that I decided running my own life was just a gigantic mistake. I did everything. I'm telling you, I don't know how to tell my young brothers and sisters that are here. I don't know what clicked in my, I don't know when I woke up one day and said, what an idiot I've been my whole life. My goodness. Stupid. Even the worst of parents love their kids and want what's good for them. Even the worst of parents. There's some stuff you could look back and go, they weren't all bad. I could have listened more. I could have learned more.
Watch. Chapter 4. This is where the Lord Jesus comes in. Verse 34. 4 and 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Verse 38, I sent you to reap for which that you have not labored. Others have labored and you entered into their labors. So God sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I obey. And then he says, so send I you. Is it ridiculous yet? Not even close. Chapter 5, verse 23. The Lord Jesus again. that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. He shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Same chapter, verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. Wait a second. Didn't you just say that he's the creator of all things? He did not come. Wait a second. The Lord Jesus had no reason to submit to anybody. This first statement he makes here is moving. It's earth-shattering. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Wow. That is a mouthful for God to say. Same chapter, verse 33. You have sent to John, and he has bore witness to the truth. Same chapter, verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. Oh, it gets absolutely absurd at this point. Now we cross over from just suggestion to obsession. In chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Same chapter, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Verse 39, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given to me I should lose nothing, but should raise up that last day." Same chapter, verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Same chapter, verse 57, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." Chapter 7, verse 16, "Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him who sent me." Verse 18, same chapter, "He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Same chapter, verse 28, "Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." Same chapter, verse 32. "The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." Next chapter, 8, verse 16. "And yet I do not judge. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me." Verse 18, same chapter. "I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." Same chapter, verse 26. "I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." Same chapter, verse 29. "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." Verse 30. "And as he spoke these words, many believed in him." Verse 42, same chapter. "Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." Chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Same chapter, verse 7. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Please give me your attention. I love that verse. You're the best, my love. Thank you. My daughter. She heard me coughing. In case you didn't get the whole sent thing from the Lord Jesus, he tells this blind guy, I want you to go wash in a pool. It's called Siloam. That means sent. It's like, in case you've been following him and you didn't pick up on that little nuance of the word sent, he goes, tell the blind guy, go wash in the pool of Siloam. That means sent. 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 Are you getting a scent of this thing yet? Chapter 10, verse 36. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God? Chapter 11. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick. Same chapter, verse 42, all the way down to the end of chapter 11. And I know you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Wow. Chapter 12, all the way down in verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Same chapter, verse 49. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. What should I say and what should I speak? Chapter 13, verse 16. Next chapter, verse 16. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Oh my goodness, there's so much in that one. Verse 20, same chapter. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Chapter 14, verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Next chapter, chapter 15, verse 21. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Next chapter, 16, verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks, where are you going? Next chapter, chapter 17. Even as the Father, in case you don't know, if you're new to Scripture, the 17th chapter of the book of John is the greatest prayer in the entire Bible. The whole thing is the Lord Jesus talking to the Father. It's the most amazing chapter. You can't read it without having more questions, more awe, more understanding. Chapter 17 of the book of John is like a memory chapter, basically. And even as he's talking to the Father who sent him, he says this in verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And in verse 8, he says, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. Down to verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And in verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world might know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And then finally in chapter 18, verse 24, then Annas, sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And then the last, in chapter 20, in verse 21, the Great Commission, this is called, to Bible scholars. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Was I lying when I said it was an obsession? I mean, what is he trying to tell us? What is the message here? What is the idea? What is the thought? For a stubborn, hard-hearted fool like myself, just do what you're told, man. How do I know who has my best interest in mind? Well, we just read that. He speaks the word of God. When he tells you to do something that's not of the word of God, you don't do it. Otherwise, do it! Look, it's really hard to be in the position you're in and at some point in time not tell yourself, "Well, he just wants me to listen to him." If you are of the skeptical mind, if you are of the same type of person that I am, you're extremely suspicious to the point of paranoia. When the pastor's saying, "Hey, I want you to do this," or "God said to do this," like, what's in it for you? What are you getting out of it? I get something out of it. I get to see you grow in the Lord. If I tell you to sin, don't do it. If I tell you to accomplish the word of God in your life, do it. If you think I say something that's not of the word, that's not of the Lord, talk to me. Everything else, do. Do it. You might sit there and go, I thought so. You just want authority. I'm just telling you what I did. I sat under a pastor for 12 plus years and did what he said. And let me tell you, things didn't end well for that guy. But guess what? They ended well for me so far. Because I obeyed the word of the Lord, even under a fool. And that's not to say the guy was a fool. I'm trying to illustrate to you. As long as you obey the word of God, it doesn't matter who's telling you to do it. Do it. Do the word of God. What is in it for you is the question. I don't know. Let's see. 25 years after the fact, 25 years plus from the day I made the Lord my Lord, not just my Savior, wife, kids, grandkids, happiness, mountaintop, valleys, good business, strength, peace in my heart that I never, ever experienced before. I'm not offering you, like, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. That's what he said. And if there's one thing that stops young men and old men from experiencing this peace, is the self-willed stubbornness to want what you want, to follow what you feel, to do what you think is right, to have no authority above you. I have three pastors. One is named Raz Vasquez, he's in Miami. Another is named Jim Coy, he's in North Carolina. Another one is named Ken Graves, he's in Bangor, Maine. I do what they say. I don't agree with everything any of them say. No, I don't agree with everything any of them say, but I do what they say because I place myself under their authority. So I do. There's this whole big thing going on with all the pastors in South Florida, and some of them are following one doctrine, and some of them are following another doctrine, and one guy that's following some whack doctrine, he says something, and I said, "No, you're wrong. I'm not with this dude. I'm not with that movement." And my pastor called me up and Raz said,
reconcile with him. And I said, are you out of your mind? I said, Raz, the guy is whack. He is talking about heretical heresies that started before Christ. And he said, I want you to reconcile with him. Peace is the only way. Unity is the only plan. Love is the only covering. I said, I don't agree with you, but I will, because you are my authority. I'm not telling you what I don't do. I'm not bragging. I'm not sitting here bragging. I'm telling you something. The Lord Jesus was obsessed. I did not come to do my thing, the will of him who sent me. And what are we reading? What is the chapter we're reading, guys? We're reading a chapter of a guy who was got saved in a church and said, Paul, you're my pastor. What should I do? Paul said, I want you to tell the people this, tell the people this, tell the people this. And then I want you to send Artemis, send Tychicus, send Zenas, send Apollos, send them. As I send you, so you send them to do the word of God. Are you with me? Okay. Guys, hand out the communion elements, please. So now, during communion, we're going to have this time. Here's what we're going to do. As the brothers hand out the communion elements, I want you guys to ask God to reveal to you the things in your heart that are contrary. Contrary. God, reveal to me my contrary heart. Whom have I not listened to? Whom have I not obeyed? Because let me tell you something that is the worst purveying thing in the church. You guys listening? Don't be distracted. God told me to do this, and that's what I'm going to do. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. God did not tell you to stay home from church. Did not. God did not tell you to stay home and watch church on the internet. No, he didn't. God did not tell you. He will never tell you to do something contrary to his word. Never. Never. You understand me? Hello? Please, please, please. Don't, what my pastor used to say, don't major in the minors. There's plenty of big things to obey. We can worry about the little things later. Okay? All right? So now you get this communion elements. Just hold on to them and look at them. Hold on to them. Just look at them. Thanks, Wood. Matthias, just come up here and play a quick song. Something slow that's meditative that I don't want people to sing along. I just want them to be focused on. So you're looking at that cup and the bread. The bread is the body of Christ. Now watch what we just read. Annas sent the Lord Jesus. God sent Jesus. The high priest sent Jesus. And you know where the high priest sent him? The same place God the Father sent him, to die. He died, but still lives. Hey guys, you know where I'm sending you as your pastor? The same place God is sending you, to die. But you'll still live. Your will, your way, your plan, your feelings, your desires, your emotions, they must die. You'll still live. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Matter of fact, you'll be better for it. So, communion is what they call, if you're new to church, this is called the sacrament of the church. One of the things that we do that's representative of spiritual things. It's not, let's just be honest for a second, guys. It's a little weird. Could you imagine if somebody from the outside world came in, they just busted in the door and like, you look at me like, what are you doing? It's a matzah. Juice. Are you hungry? Yeah. Then why don't you get a little more? Yeah, it's not like that. It's a representation. A what? Put the gun down. Can we talk about it? This is a representation of the body of my Savior, the one who sent me here to love you instead of shooting you dead. And I am, by eating this, telling God that I want His life in me. That everything that I do and say, the strength that I have, is made up of everything that He gives me. And this is how I kind of show Him and my brothers and sisters. Well, are you thirsty? Yes, I'm very thirsty. Then why don't you get a bigger cup? It's the same thing. The juice represents Christ's blood. What? Yeah. You see, in His blood, there's forgiveness, and the power of forgiveness sets me free to serve Him so I could do what He sent me to do. You're leaving. How come you're leaving? Because you people are a bunch of weirdos. Do you also want to leave? Somebody? Anybody? Where else would we go? He has the words of life. This is exactly what His disciples said. The Lord Jesus looked at His apostles, His disciples, and He said to them, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no place in me. And they thought He was a lunatic. He said, what are you, a cannibal? And it says that many left Him and never followed Him again. He let them. Wait, let me explain. He didn't explain that statement. He let them go. And then He turned to His disciples and He said, do you want to leave also? And this is real. You do this, guys. If you do this, if you eat this and drink this, and you don't do it in a manner that is sincere, do you understand you drink judgment on yourself? This ain't no joke. This ain't like, well, I don't really mean it, but I'm going to eat it anyway. Listen to me. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's bad if you do that. Very bad. Like as in unknown spiritual cursing, wickedness, all kinds of voodoo crap will come upon you. Don't do it. Don't. But if you look at this, and while Matt's playing, you just go, man, I know I ain't been living right. I know I'm so weak. But give me another chance. Look at my hard heart and help me surrender. And this is the time that God hears it. This is the time that God's like, yes. Yes. Let's do it together. That's what He says to you. Brother Matt? No?
Mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfailing love, according to Your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfailing love, according to Your great compassion. joy of your salvation, would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Sacrifices of our God, broken and a contrite heart, against you and you alone have I sinned. Would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? Restore
maybe for some, there's the day of salvation. And by partaking in this, you're not just making him your Savior, you're making him Lord and Savior all in one fell swoop, and that would be a marvelous thing. And I don't want you to forget this day if that's your day. I don't want to make a bunch of fanfare about it and have people stand up and clap. Although that's a beautiful thing, this is not that. If today is your day of making Christ your Savior or your Lord, here's his body. If you've spent time with him, you've just told God the inner depths of your heart, take it. It's more than physical, though, guys. You see, you can't do this without him. You can't live for God without his Spirit. Unless the Spirit fills you and overtakes you, you got no shot of living this life. You're going to succumb to the flesh every time, every stumble, every hurdle, every temptation, every opportunity. And this is asking God, God, I know I'm going to screw up again, but would you be with me and forgive me in advance? I mean, let's call it what it is. This is paying it forward. God paid it forward. Like, I know you're going to mess up tomorrow. I got this. Wow. Thank you, God, huh? Celebratory. You know what I'm talking about? Which one? Lion and the Lamb? Yes, Lion and the Lamb. Who is like him? Stand up and worship God now. Thank you so much, guys. Love you. Have a great rest of your week.
Conquer.